All right, welcome back to Late Night, final hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hanging out here at Target Field for the final hour of the show. Twins back in action tomorrow night, 7:10 first pitch. But tonight they got the first game of the series against the Tampa Rays, and they won 9-4. So let's take a glance back at what occurred here tonight at Target Field. It was a lot of fun to watch the offense break out again and look like the Twins that we watched the majority of the season. The Bomba Squad was back in action tonight, and a guy that had a spectacular night was Eddie Rosario. He was 4-5 at the plate, and he had two RBI, I think. Well, he spoke after the game, and it was real quick. He didn't have a whole lot to say; just a couple of questions he answered. But this was Eddie Rosario post game.
He's a good pitcher. In the third inning, I know everybody see he's aggressive. He's coming aggressive today in the fastball. Simple, everybody. The next inning, when I try it ready to the fastball, I'm fighting good at bat.
You guys hit him the opposite way a lot in a couple of those rallies. Is that something that you guys were trying to do, or just kind of happened?
No, that's kind of happened. That's the game. I want to try to use the other time, the off field. I'm hitting to line drive to left field. I'm hitting double to right field. You have big field. You need to use everything.
All right, and let me apologize to the listening audience because I neglected to mention who was talking about there at the start of the soundbite. He's talking about Blake Snell, the starting pitcher for the Tampa Rays, who last year won the Cy Young Award, okay, for the American League. That's who he was talking about at the very start of the soundbite. So Blake Snell, that's the pitcher that he was talking about facing tonight at the plate. Kyle Gibson was good tonight. Solid effort from him. He went 7 innings. Gave up 4 earned runs. Three of those earned runs he gave up in the top of the 7th. But a nice start from Kyle tonight. This is Kyle talking about staying loose during those long innings when his teammates were putting runs on the board for him.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Castro. I think it was maybe in the 4th. The 4th and the 5th is kind of the hardest time to have a long inning like that. So I was underneath by the batting cage just trying to stay loose, using my dura throw and keeping the arm moving and keeping the body moving, because those are kind of the critical innings as you start to fatigue. I wasn't tired, but as you start to get to that point, you can tighten up a whole lot faster.
Always good to have that nice 8-run lead, right? That's always nice to have. That is always nice to have. All right, this was Kyle talking about that 7th inning when he gave up those 3 runs.
I don't know if it's just throwing a different pitch or what, but they were executed pitches, and unfortunately they were finding holes. But offense did a great job. Defense did a great job of giving us that cushion, and it allowed me to be aggressive and stay in the zone there even in the 7th inning. And, all I had in my mind was trying to get into the 8th and 9th and keep executing pitches, and unfortunately I just found some holes.
Yep, nice night for Kyle Gibson, though. Got the victory for the Twins. Let's rewind for a second. Go back to last week. I said this on the show several times, even mentioned it a little bit earlier tonight, but we had that game in which the extra inning game, the 17-inning game against the Red Sox, that we won. And I mentioned for the next 2 days after that people around here at the ballpark were tired. Okay, people were tired the next day after, and I was even feeling it at the end of the weekend. Right at the end of the week, I was feeling a little bit tired because you overextend yourself a little bit and you don't get enough sleep and all that stuff. And heck, the next day I'm walking around here in the press box, and I'm seeing people literally trying to catch a nap from the night before. So I totally get it. I totally understand it in terms of like feeling fatigued and a little bit tired, a little bit sleepy. And you know that the players had to have been exhausted after that 17-inning game. Well, I know that at least from my perspective, I was able to chill out on Saturday and Sunday. Okay, I was able to cruise into the weekend. Now, Friday night, of course, we're doing the show and we're hanging out until 1 a.m. But the bottom line is I had a weekend. And grant you, on Friday, I was able to actually DJ. I was able to get out of there earlier because I didn't work Friday night. Eric Nelson was doing the show for me on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And I filled in for Paul and Jordana. So I was able to get some sleep early. Okay, I was able to ease into the weekend. The Twins didn't have that luxury. They had ball games to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so they finally got that off day yesterday. This is Rocco talking about being rested after the off day.
Yeah, I think our guys look fresh, but I also think you can feel the energy when, you know, we've played a lot of games, and our guys have given a really good effort over this long stretch. But when you give guys an opportunity to sit on their couch or do whatever it is that they're going to do on the off day and mess around on the internet and watch some Netflix or whatever it is they're doing, they come back with they're ready to play when they come back, and our guys definitely were ready to play today.
And that's one of the things I love about this team, is that when they take an L, or they lose a ball game or lose a couple of ball games, they come back out and they fight. This is the only team still in Major League Baseball that has not had a 3-game losing streak. It's because their minds are right. It's a great mentality that they're going to go out there and they're not trying to have an extended losing streak. And that's been awesome to watch. Rocco talked about the opposing starting pitcher, Blake Snell, last year's Cy Young Award winner.
We stayed with it. He threw a lot of strikes early and pitched. Snell pitched with his fastball. He's tough. I mean, if he makes good quality pitches, I mean, life is difficult. But our guys continued on with good at-bats. Forced him to stay in the zone and make good pitch after good pitch. And I have to commend our guys on just what we did up there, because, if you don't go up there with a good approach and you don't go up there with the right mindset, Snell has the kind of stuff that, he can end the at-bat pretty quickly. So, we did force him to put the ball where he wanted, and we put good swings on the ball. And, getting ahead, it's a good feeling, especially when facing a guy like that and facing a good team.
I know that DJ was here earlier because we were hanging out here in the press box in the booth watching the game. And he was here when Williams Astudillo made a really nice catch there in right field. And I'm surprised we didn't have a little mini earthquake.
Yeah.
Because when he went up against that wall and he crushes it, and I was saying to myself, well, I know he's going to get up. I think that he's going to take his time to get up, but I wonder if the wall is damaged, because Williams is not a small guy. But that was a really nice play that he made in right field. This was Rocco on the Astudillo catch.
I'm just excited for everybody else. That's really what – when Williams is out there and making plays like he does, it's about the people who enjoy watching him play, and he just continually does stuff every single time he's out there, and it makes people smile. He makes the plays, though, so he goes out there and – he's having fun, and again, we got another highlight to throw up on the big screen.
I love it, man. I love it. Williams, he's the guy that you look at, his personality and just everything about him, mm-hmm. you just love it. But this is the one thing that we're going to have to stop, okay? Let me go ahead, and I'm going to make this comment tonight, and I know this is going to tick off some Twins fans, okay? If you're going to be critical of Miguel Sano, right? Because, he's been the lightning rod lately, right? Right, DJ? He's been the guy that we've been in our feelings about. When I say we, I'm talking about the fans, because of the strikeouts and stuff, right?
Yeah, and you said earlier that Williams just brings some energy and some life, no matter what he's doing on the field.
Yes. But this is the deal, though. This is what I don't want people to do, because you're a hypocrite if you do it. I know that we love Williams Astudillo, right? And I know that we criticize at times. Anybody's, nobody's above criticism. And Miguel Sano's not above criticism, because you're as good as your last game. But one thing that I don't want to see happen is, and I've seen this before, people will do it on Twitter, and people will say it, when they call into the show. They'll talk about his weight, and they'll call Miguel Sano fat, and then he's put on weight. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you what. How can you justify talking about his weight and all of that stuff, but then you're in love with Williams Astudillo? To me, that's hypocritical. Now, look, one guy being in shape and being able to do what he is able to do and be successful at a weight is one thing. I totally get that. But we need to stop with the whole, taking shots at Miguel Sano because some people feel like he's out of shape or he's over. Do you think that Miguel Sano is ever going to be lean and cut up like Max Kepler? Like, he is a guy that's going to carry, I think, a little bit of extra weight. Do I think he could be in better shape? Yes, there's no question about that. But we need to stop with the whole, the guy's fat. He's not fat. Stop. Could he stand to maybe get in better shape? Anybody on the roster could stand to get in better shape. You see what I'm saying, DJ?
Yeah, and Sano has the strength that many lean players wish they had. And sometimes, you know, you can't get everything. And Sano, he has the strength, and he's got to work maybe or could work a little bit on the, you know, getting lean or losing a little bit of weight. But every player, you could say that. A different player, you go, oh, well, he's, you know, he's small and quick and fast, but he maybe doesn't have the home run power that somebody like Sano has.
Yes, no question. And the final thing is Max Kepler. He is – dude's just – you're talking about a guy that's as fit as they come. Like, he's built to granite. He's cut up. Rocco did update us a little bit about what happened with Kepler. Well, Kepler, if you didn't see the game tonight and you just listened to it and maybe you missed that inning, but Kepler left the game early. Cave had to come in for him because he got hit on the elbow. And it sounds like it's not anything serious, but this is Rocco updating all of us post-game in regards to Kepler's situation.
Yeah, Max came out of it okay. It was a little scary, obviously. Hit him pretty squarely. He's got some swelling, but it looks like we're going to be okay. It's in a spot that probably maybe looks a little worse than it is. I mean, obviously he's going to be uncomfortable for a little while and have to work through this, but you know, the initial testing came back with nothing overly serious. We're going to probably keep monitoring him. He's going to have some more imaging done tomorrow just to make sure he's okay, and we'll see him here.
All right, so hey, fingers crossed for Max Kepler. We know he's a really good ball player. He's an important piece to this team. We can sit here and we can talk about this team being deep and with plenty of talented players and all that, but he to me is a key member of this ball club this year. He is so versatile. He does so many things well, not just defensively but also offensively. He's been good. So, and he's one of those improving players in Major League Baseball. So hopefully, knock on wood, all is going to be fine with Max Kepler. All right, coming up next. Latest edition of Word on the Street. We get to that next year on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night. I love this music. Thumbs up. I got to give it to David Joseph on this one. This is awesome. It's time for Word on the Street, where we dive into this is like our entertainment segment, where we get into some of the gossip stuff that's happening in entertainment, movies, music, and just all around, just a gossip column-esque segment. Sometimes it's sports, too. And we got a sports nugget tonight, too.
Yeah, well, let's start off with the name Beth Chapman, which when I heard that name, I go, wait a minute. Who is that? But, of course, once I looked into this story, I immediately realized Beth Chapman is the wife of Dwayne Chapman, who's better known as Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yep.
And of course, we've all seen his – he's had a couple reality TV shows now where he's – chasing down folks and tackling different people that have done crimes. And I actually found this out today that Dog actually, because of a conviction he had previously, isn't allowed to own a firearm. So he's doing all this without having guns or anything. But anyway, all that
could
to
you
say,
take him? Could you take him?
Could you? No.
Forget,
no.
Forget about weapons. Could you take him one-on-one?
No. No way. Even though he's 66 years old, I think he'd take me down.
Just go low, man.
But anyway, this is actually a sad story. His wife, Beth Chapman, has been struggling with stage 4 lung cancer.
Yeah.
And sources say, from the family, say that she is not expected to recover. The family is being gathered in Hawaii as it looks like she is in her final days.
Yeah, this is a sad story. And look, you know, I wanted to talk about this and bring attention to it just because – you know, I did watch that show years ago. I wasn't like the biggest fan, but this is unfortunate and some sad news that it doesn't look like she's gonna she's not expected to recover. So, you know, just thinking about the family, man. I don't want to say you know, rest in peace, because she hasn't passed away yet. But the bottom line is she is in poor health right now.
I did love the photo that was posted of her. It was just her hand and her nails were done. If you've ever seen the show, she's always kind of done up a little bit, and her nails are still got some bling on them, if you will. So.
No question. Yep.
Well, the name James Holzhauer certainly rings a bell for folks who watch Jeopardy. Of course, he was the contestant who famously won 32 consecutive games of Jeopardy, amassing $2.4 million that streak just ended about a month ago. But James Holzhauer is now taking his skills to the poker table, and unfortunately, it didn't go quite as well as he was hoping. Holzhauer finished in 454th place. Now, that's among almost 2,000 folks who entered, so he's not exactly at the bottom of the pack, but he did not finish in the money in a couple of Texas Hold'em tournaments in Vegas.
Well, this was not a winning effort, but we always have to go back to who he is, right? He's from Vegas. Like, he lives – maybe I'll see him at NBA Summer League in a couple of weeks. But he's a Vegas guy, and that's what he – like, going on to Jeopardy, that's what everybody said. This guy's a professional gambler. Like, that's what he does. So so his run on Jeopardy is over. Now he's back to, you know, his real life work, and that's being a gambler in Vegas.
And he has played semi-professional online poker for quite a while, but he kind of makes his bread and butter of his living with sports betting.
Nice.
All right, finally, we'll get to a sports story here. Charles Barkley apparently is dissing on the Space Jam reboot. That's right. There's going to be another Space Jam after the 1996 cult hit, which, of course, featured Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. And at the NBA Awards, which were earlier this week, Charles Barkley did not have nice things to say about Space Jam. He said, quote, "Space Jam 1, the original, was amazing. We don't need number 2.
See what? See, this is just this is what it is, though. Remember, I said this last night. The back in my day guy, right? We saw Dennis Eckersley hating on Marcus Stroman back in my day. This is what Charles Barkley's doing. Like, Charles, get over yourself. We're fans of yours, but the bottom line is why are you hating on Space Jam 2? Like, so what if there's a you know a sequel? So, who cares? My goodness. Like, he was a part of Space Jam 1, right?
Yeah.
So because he's not a part of Space Jam 2, oh, they shouldn't do a Space Jam 2.
Yeah. I bet if they paid him a bunch of money to be in Space Jam 2,
he'd
be all about it.
Yep.
Now, that does it does raise another issue that I would – I mean, I agree with everything you said, and Charles Barkley doesn't need to be, you know, dissing Space Jam 2. But I will say, in general, sequels of movies, especially a cult classic like that, are generally not very good. They're generally a disappointment.
We got to wait and see.
Well, you know, that's true. That's true.
And, how many years has it been between one to the in the other?
1996 was the first one.
Wow, that's a long time. So, yeah, it's going to suck. It's not going to be very good. We know how that works out, man.
23 years, if my math is correct.
Oh, my gosh. What was the other? There was another movie that everybody was talking about like a year or two ago, and they said it's been so long since they had. It wasn't Dumb and Dumber, was it?
That was several years ago, when they've rebooted that a couple of different times.
Like, why? Like, why? Why? Why do that to yourself? You cannot. The original was so amazing.
Yeah.
No chance.
Here's
You're
why.
Pulling it off.
Here's why. Men in Black 3, I guess it is, came out recently, and I don't think that's going to be a good movie. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a good movie.
The trailer doesn't look good.
But because I so loved the original Men in Black when it came out, I'm probably going to go see it. When that's why they make these movies, because people like me, even though we know it's probably not going to be great, we're going to fork out the money and go and see it.
Okay. All right. I hear you, man. All right, that's going to wrap up Word on the Street. Coming up next, in this profession, we are paid to entertain you, to give you opinions and give you thoughts and give you sports takes, you know, world takes, whatever. And we do that. But at the same time, I value being respectful towards individuals. And one radio host did not do that. I'll explain. And we also get to today's top story that comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on on News Talk 830 WCCO. I just came across a tweet that I just things that make you say, Remember when Arsenio Hall did that on his show many years ago? Things that make you say, Well, the tweet that I just came across was from, I don't know if you're a fan or not. I don't even know if you eat. Well, I'm assuming you eat fast food from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
But Wendy's, okay?
Oh, I love Wendy's.
Oh, do you love Wendy's?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so Wendy's tweeted this out earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy chicken nuggets are officially back on August 19th. Retweet to save my fingers. Okay? So they're announcing that spicy chicken nuggets are officially back on August the 19th, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is my question, though. Or my opinion. My opinion is you should always have spicy chicken nuggets. Like, nowadays, if you're serving nuggets, you should have both. You should have original nuggets, and you should have spicy nuggets. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and I would pick the spicy nuggets.
I would pick the spicy every time.
I'd pick them every time. I think what they're trying to do, and this is what McDonald's has done with the McRib, or with the Shamrock Shake, although that's more seasonal.
No,
item.
But that's different, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Those are more seasonal. You always have nuggets on the menu.
Okay, then take the McRib. That's the item that I think that's not seasonal. There's no reason, but it's back.
No. It is. It is seasonal. It's not always on the menu.
But it's not. But like the Shamrock Shake's a bad example because that is associated
the McRib is a bad example.
No, that's a great example.
No, it's not because it's not year-round. But this
exactly,
point.
Just like the nuggets aren't year-round. That's what we're talking
but
about.
But nuggets are year-round, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing – put it like this. There's the original nuggets, and then there's the spicy nuggets, right? The McRib, and then what else is even close to the McRib? There isn't anything.
But the McRib has been a big success for McDonald's, I think, in that it's only available for certain times, and then that's why it's kind of this like weird cult classic item at McDonald's, and that's what Wendy's is trying to create with the spicy nuggets.
I understand that. I totally understand that, but I don't think that your comparison is a good correlation. I don't think that's a good comparison because the McRib, they're put it like this. Is there something on the menu that's similar to the spicy nuggets? Yes, original nuggets. Is there anything on McDonald's menu that's even close to the McRib?
I don't get why that has anything to do with it.
It has everything to do with
it.
No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you right now, dude. I cannot believe you. I don't think that's a good comparison at all.
How is that not? I completely disagree.
So you think that having just basic nuggets on the menu versus the spicy nuggets, that there's something similar with McDonald's. What's close to a McRib?
I'm not saying there is anything close to McRib. I'm saying that the strategy McDonald's employs.
I agree with the strategy. The strategy is we give it to you and then we take it away.
Yes, exactly.
That.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
But what I'm saying is in regards to Wendy's, the spicy nuggets to me is not unique enough to where we shouldn't have it year-round. Like, the McRib is a unique sandwich. Mm-hmm. I don't think that spicy chicken nuggets are that unique to where, well, we should put it out there for a couple of months and then take it off. I don't think that.
Well, but clearly that's what they're trying, and clearly you and I want the spicy nuggets and are going to go get them on, what was that day again? I'm marking my calendar right now.
August 19th, but you are because I'm not the biggest fan of Wendy's.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
I found it interesting. I'm like, spicy nuggets? I mean, they should do that anyway.
I wonder if you can get the spicy nuggets with the 4 for $4. That's the deal I always get over at Wendy's.
Oh, see, you're a Wendy's pro.
Well, I wish
you're a Wendy's pro.
Yeah, occasionally.
All right. Let's take a phone call from Dwayne in Bloomington. What's up, Dwayne?
Morning, Mr. Lake.
Dwayne, whose side are you? Who are you siding with here, man? Come on. I know you say you're a big fella, so you got to weigh in on these nuggets, man.
You just said
clearly,
weigh in.
Clearly, you gotta, clearly,
clearly what?
Well, first of all, I'm going to laugh at your joke now like it doesn't hurt, but later on after we hang up, I will be in tears because I'm very sensitive about my weight. I'm up on that by now. But clearly, DJ is correct. Because,
thank you. Man, turn off his. Hey,
no way.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Dwayne. No, cut him off.
No, it's the Dwayne show. He's on.
The whole point of bringing it back periodically is people will come out to get it when they know they have a short window. It's the same strategy with both products. But that's
so let me ask you this. Why does Chick-fil-A have a spicy chicken sandwich all year round and they have an original chicken sandwich?
Well, I don't know. It's because maybe I don't.
But Chick-fil-A has chosen not to implement this particular strategy. So Chick-fil-A, maybe they would offer a sandwich with bacon on it or a different type of nuggets or whatever they decide to offer, that they say we're going to do this for a month out of the year or whatever the deal is.
All I'm saying is not McDonald's, but Wendy's could make more money if they just went ahead and offered the damn spicy chicken nuggets year round.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is a fat guy calls in and he's supposed to be an expert on fast food. If an alcoholic called in, would you expect him to be an expert on bars?
Well, if you're as fat as you say you are, you should be able to weigh in on this topic.
Oh, goes back to the same double entendre twice. Sad.
He got you there.
Oh, yeah, you did get me there.
I called with a real problem.
Oh, what is it?
I'm expecting you to help, in spite of your lack of knowledge about fast food. The reason I have time to ramble tonight is because I'm in the back room.
Okay.
Because I'm training in a new gal tonight at work.
Okay.
And her name is Jean.
Jean, okay.
It's
mean Jean?
No, she's not mean at all. At least
okay.
She hasn't been mean yet.
Okay.
But I'm a little worried that she could be a stalker.
Of who?
Of me.
Oh, of you. I was like, okay.
Yes. So we're working like we started at 11, right? We're an hour and a half into our shift, and she says, "I have something to show you." And she rolls up her sweater.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
I know. She rolls up her sweater sleeve, and there's my name tattooed on her forearm.
What?
Okay, now admittedly, it was
in marker.
No, it's a tattoo. But it's admittedly, the name is inside of a dog paw, and she says she had a dog named Dwayne. But this could just be a cover story, right?
Nah, she's not that into you, Dwayne. I'm sorry.
Wait, because she's young and thin and gorgeous, she wouldn't be into me? Is that your point?
Oh yeah, I need her number. I'm just joking.
She's too young for you. She's just a pop.
What? You haven't seen the Instagram models I've dated?
The Instagram models, are they after you?
Man, dude, I'm like Leo DiCaprio out here. What are you talking about?
I heard it's between you and Max Kepler for most eligible bachelor in Minnesota. Instagram model.
Oh, I may be broke, but
before after you wake up.
Hey, I may be broke, but I hold my own, bro.
Yes, I'm sure you do quite well compared to other poor guys.
Ah, I love it. I love it. Yo, man, you better ask Matt Burke about me.
now, why would a good Catholic family man like Matt Burke?
He's seen me in action.
Anything about your back?
He's seen me in action. He's seen me in action.
Alrighty, well, until you've got a stalker like I do. And by
No! I've had a stalker before. No! I've had a stalker twice.
Did this stalker have your name tattooed on her arm?
No, I didn't. No, you got me beat there.
That's
you got me beat there, bro.
Amateur stalker. I don't even know. She's probably stalking whoever gives her the time of day. I got a stalker here. This is a problem, and I can tell you're not taking it seriously.
Hey, man, I'm going to pray for you tonight, okay?
Lord knows I could use it.
All right, thanks for the phone call. I was wondering where Dwayne – I was wondering where Dwayne in Bloomington – and then he showed up tonight. I really was, because I asked – DJ did not ask a couple days ago. I said, man, we haven't heard from Dwayne, and we haven't heard from Jerry in Roseville.
That's right.
Where's Jerry in Roseville? So we need to check in with him too.
That's right.
All right, so because I rambled this segment and I never got to the topic that I teased, which I know I'm going to hear from the boss, right? John's going to be all over me. He's going to be like, Lake, come on, man. You got to go and pay off the tees. I'll pay off the tees and get to the topic that I wanted to get to in regards to showing respect when you're a radio host. We get to that next here on Late Night. All right, final segment here of Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Dwayne in Bloomington's always he's always a blast to chat to because he's a funny dude. Eventually, at some point, we got to meet him, right? You've never met Dwayne, right?
No. I've talked to him many times.
But you never met him.
That's right.
I like to meet the people that call into the station.
I've met a couple of listeners a few times, and it's pretty fun to connect the dots.
Yes. So I want to meet Dwayne. I want to meet Jerry. I want to meet Carol. I want to meet all the people that call into the station. And at some point, you're going to have to meet Justin, my buddy Justin, who called in. He said you wouldn't take his phone call tonight. He was like pissed about it. Oh, man. But let's get to something that's serious. Now, in this business, that last segment that we just had, we were having fun. All right. We had fun with the caller. And we have fun with the individuals that we not only that we work with and the people that listen to the station, but we also have fun with, at times, players, have fun with coaches. Matter of fact, tonight before Rocco started to talk, me and him had a little bit of fun talking about Dustin Morris and the fact that he'll shoot a jumper before, that he gets ready to talk to the media and stuff like that, whatever, because I saw the tweet over the weekend about the Twins and the setup there. And Rocco and what he does before he gets into his post game comments. So I asked him about that, and it was before they started rolling the cameras and everything tonight, whatever. So we both had a chuckle and a laugh. So yeah, so we like to have a good rapport with people, and when we get on the air, you're expressing your opinions, and at times it gets into speculation, but in this business, we're trying to entertain, but we're also trying to inform and have fun, and at the on the other hand, be factual about things and all of that, right? And are players and coaches going to love everything that you say? Absolutely not. They'll like some of the things you say. They'll hate some of the things you say. They'll love some of the things you say. And we'll feel that way about some of the things that teams do. But there's a line that you don't cross, okay? And the line is, at least in my opinion, you always try to be respectful to coaches, to players. And it doesn't mean that you have to kiss their butt. It just means that when it comes to how you deal with them on TV, radio, whatever, you don't go out of your way to bash somebody and bring up things that have nothing to do with the story. So yesterday, a Kansas City talk show host, in my opinion, showed absolutely no class. Because in talking about Andy Reid, well, let me take a step back. Tyreek Hill, everybody knows about his situation. There's the accusation that he has been abusing his son and he's been out indefinitely away from the team. And he's going to meet with the National Football League tomorrow. Okay, he's going to the league office tomorrow. So there's a sports talk show host in Kansas City by the name of Kevin Keatsman who referenced Andy Reid's dead son, Garrett, when making the point that Andy Reid is not good at fixing players, okay? Which is that's – I don't even know how to describe it. That's just pathetic. It's awful. Andy Reid's son, Garrett, overdosed on heroin back in 2012 at the age of 29, okay? To make your point about Andy Reid, why in the hell would you bring up Andy Reid's son passing away to try to make a point about he's not good at fixing players because he couldn't fix issues within his own family? How disgusting is that? Like, that's absolutely crossing the line. Hey, DJ, I know you got the soundbite already here. This is him in his conversation. This is a real quick 24 seconds. This is just a snippet of what he said during that segment.
Andy Reid does not have a great record of fixing players. He doesn't. Discipline is not his thing. did not work out particularly well in his family life, and that needs to be added to this. As we're talking about the Chiefs, he wasn't real great at that either. He's had a lot of things go by him, family and players. He is not good at fixing people. He is not good at discipline. That is not his strength. His strength is finding foot plays.
Okay, so he said that he's not good at fixing players. His strength is drawing up football plays. To me, that's as low as you can go. You don't bring coaches and players' family members into a story unless they are legitimately part of said story. And it's beyond, I repeat, it's beyond disrespectful to draw a parallel to someone's deceased children. That's pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic. And look, I was around Andy Reid for 5.5 years. I've sat in Andy Reid's office and done, you know, one-on-ones with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a good man, and he deserves better than to have a talk show host there in Kansas City bring up his deceased son to try to make a point on the radio. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. You don't do it. You can't do it. And then afterwards, when he's called out nationally, like Lewis Riddick from ESPN was tweeting about it, there are so many people, NFL players were tweeting at the host and saying that he was, let me clean it up and say that he was a piece of work. You know what I mean? That's what some NFL players were saying. But he was even defending himself, DJ. He was defending himself after everybody was calling him out on it. It's despicable. And it sounds like you got an update on the latest with this gentleman.
Well, yeah, so all of these comments were made on Monday,
yep,
during Kevin's show. And today, apparently, Kevin has been suspended indefinitely. He was not able to do his show today. In a statement from the station, they say, "We are aware of the controversial comments made by Kevin Kitzman during yesterday's broadcast of Between the Lines. We have decided to take an immediate step to take Kevin off the air until further notice as we review this matter." So that's what the station is saying. Mm-hmm. There's also a petition on change.org that's calling for Kevin to be fired.
Let me just say this. I would be shocked if Kevin Kitzman was fired. He's in terms of a host, he's been a good host for some time. I don't agree with his opinion and a lot of things that he says. But in terms of putting together a show, he's been in that market for quite some time. Okay? I'm not a fan of a lot of things that he says and the way that he thinks. Okay? Because clearly he said some things that I feel like are borderline racial. And this thing with Andy Reid is just another thing that has a lot of people riled up. But the respect thing, man, you got to have respect for people, and you got to know where the line is. All right, that's going to wrap up tonight's show. We're back at it tomorrow, live from Target Field. DJ, H. Lake, Dwayne in Bloomington, Jerry and Rose, Carol in St. Paul, anybody that wants to be a part of Late Night, bring it on. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night here on News Talk 830 WCCO.